Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning. Of course, Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, the book Journal of a Duck Midwife, and a book, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. And we say good morning to Dr. Werpman. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and it's nice to talk to you again. And Jill, I want to discuss something with you that I think really should be of interest to all of us who are planning to live a nice, long life, and that is that as we age, we are almost inevitably going to be exposed to some kind of spoken or unspoken prejudice about the fact that we are older, much older, than people that we meet, work with, have social contact with, perhaps work in an organization for some kind of cause with, and it seems to me it's almost unavoidable. And this came up recently because we had an old friend, old in both senses of the word, somebody we've known for about 40 years, and somebody who last summer turned 90 come to visit us a few weeks ago. And this woman is somebody I've always held in awe because she speaks four languages and now is learning Portuguese, which is not an easy language to learn. She still plays in Boston parlance a wicked game of tennis, so much so that her opponents fear her. She swims every day. She goes to lecture series on music and art. She goes to the opera, to music, to museums, book clubs, etc., and travels. And yet, she told us that when she turned 90, and people who she would meet just casually where she lives might talk to her about age, or maybe she just talked about her birthday party when she was 90, she said all of a sudden there was this withdrawing, like, I'm not really interested in talking to you anymore, you know, and the conversation would sort of stop. And I said, why do you think that is? And she said, well, they probably think I'm going to die soon. And so they probably think, what's the point of getting to know her? You know, she'll be dead in a year or so. No point investing my time and energy in getting to know this really old person who clearly is not going to be around much longer. Go on.
No, I just think that that's exactly what I think of it. I believe, I fully agree with that. I just think that that shows such short-sightedness of humanity. You're humans, but I was actually talking to a friend about this, not quite the age thing, but a generational thing. And, you know, there are people who are quite happy, you know, with their relationships, with their devices. They're happy to do therapy on their devices. They live in another world. And I guess for some people like that, it would be inconceivable to actually have a relationship with another human anyway.
That's right. Like, pick up the phone and talk to somebody.
Right. That's a big no.
It's what's really astonishing is that this prejudice, it has a term. It's called ageism, is sort of across the board. I mean, even though many, many years ago the government passed a law saying that you must not, may never discriminate on the basis of age, the AARP, for example, did a survey and they said, well, it doesn't really matter what the legislation is. People are so used to discriminating against age, they don't even think it's an issue. I mean, they don't think they're doing anything wrong. Of course I'm not going to hire somebody who's 45 if I can hire somebody who's 29, because clearly the 29-year-old is going to be able to do the job much better. I mean, people at a ridiculously young age are being discriminated against because they're youngers. People 15 years younger, or maybe even 5 years younger, think they are too old to do the job.
But it's not first of all, somehow, we'll leave how out of it for right this second. People actually think that it's okay to divide people into slots. It reminds me of a hotel, you know, a reception desk in a hotel in Europe in the middle of the last century, let's just say, with all of those slots. You know, this is how people now view their lives. Well, you're a this, and you're a this, and I can't. You know, we've now gotten to a point where it's seemingly okay, which I just find mind-boggling because, you know, if you read any old book, if you watch any old saga, the purpose of having a family and ancestry and elders is so that you can learn some stuff. And if you were raised remotely, I'm sorry, folks, right, then you have a sense of connection. But one of the things that's been exploited in our wonderful cyber universe world, that, you know, that's like, okay, let's have relationships with our screens because that's far more fulfilling. Not, but we'll let that pass.
Well, and Jill, it's sort of less scary also because, you know, sometimes we meet somebody. Okay, let me backtrack. If you grew up in a multi-generational household, so you were living with your grandfather, grandmother, perhaps an older aunt or uncle, you knew what they looked like. You knew that, you know, their skin was wrinkled and sagged. Maybe their hair was gray or didn't have any hair. They walked slowly. They may have, you know, all sorts of minor complaints. But that was a given, just like it's a given when you have a baby in the household. The baby's going to cry and poop and, you know, cause a mess. But, you know, it's just a given, and you don't think anything of it. But if you don't, and most people nowadays don't, have that kind of experience, then you look at somebody who's old, and the person could really be 20 years older than you are, and you think, ooh, I'm not sure I like the way that person looks, smells, walks, you know, eats, whatever, and you feel an alienation from that person because that person is different. I mean, again, we've gone through this with blacks, with Asians, with people who look different, And so I think that's one of the reasons why it's easier, Jill, for people to work and act remotely, because they don't have to be with somebody whose skin and face and hair and gait are different than ours.
Well, yes, and whose fault is that? I mean, really, really, this is who we've become? Well, then everybody should just, like, really snack up, knock it off, snack up, and, you know, get... Stop. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just
what is so bizarre about ageism is that unless you are unfortunate enough to die young from an accident or a disease or self-inflicted wound or whatever, you're going to get to that age. It's totally inevitable. I mean, I remember when I was young and I had a dear relative who I just adored, but you know, she had her complaints and she said to me, "Oh, Judy," she said, "don't get old." I said, "Of course I'm going to get old." She said, "Well, be prepared for it because getting old is not for cowards." But you know, and of course I couldn't believe her. I mean, I believed her theoretically. I didn't really believe her, you know, practically. But of course she was right. And I think that is the issue that we think, well, maybe we think that by not being near people who are old, and old, I said, could be somebody who's 60 when you're 40, well, you're not, it's contagious. And so you're never going to get wrinkles or lose your hair or, you know, have arthritis or something if you stay away from those people. But
that's moronic.
You know,
I'm sorry.
It's time for people who are over the age of 35 to stand up for themselves.
No,
remember, there was that long time ago, there was that song, "Don't Trust Anybody Over 30? I mean, it's absurd now, right? But I think this is the attitude. If the older you get, the weirder you get, that's going to be near you. And I think it's really time for people over 30 to start standing up for themselves.
I agree, but I also think it's really time for people who, if people under 30 don't have an old person in their life, they ought to go find one because they can learn an awful lot. And it's also time.
Yes. Minor thing occurred to me. I have a dog who you always hear barking, and I walk the dog a lot, and I meet people of all ages walking dogs, and we talk. What do we talk about? Our dogs. And I thought that is really one very easy way to meet people who are older, to walk with people who are older, because your dogs don't care what age you are. Oftentimes, you know, the dog may be even older than the person in terms of dog years. I think there have been more opportunities in which there is a casual mingling of ages with no barriers, so that you get to know the person as a person, not somebody who, as you say, is pegged, is put into a slot.
And that same thing can apply for anything. But that's the great thing about dogs. Though I will just comment briefly because I saw a very scary article in the food section of the New York Times.
Oh, yes.
Still, how people are cooking. You know, they're once again imposing these, speaking of diets, right? Speaking of diets, you shouldn't put a human on.
I feel so sorry for the, can you imagine the dog saying, you know, all I really want is a bone to chew on. And
all I really want is a bone and some meat because I'm a carnivore.
Exactly.
And I'm an obligate carnivore.
And she keeps giving me algae. You know?
Yeah. She was. She's giving me plant-based algae because it's supposedly good for me. Marshall saw a documentary that cured him.
I saw a great documentary. The guy...
you remember the name yet?
No, I don't. But the guy said 25% of the stuff... he started talking about rich people and finances, and I threw it away. But he started talking about these new miracle foods that have come out, Impossible Burger and all these meats that aren't meat. And he pointed out something very good, that a true vegetarian will not eat any of those things because the Impossible Burgers and all these fake meats are highly processed foods. They are foods that are made up of multiple ingredients that have to be processed to make it into something that looks like and resembles beef. And it was an eye opening documentary.
Absolutely.
And that's what's the matter with our world today. I mean, you just everybody is out on the well. Just look what's happening in the world today. We as human beings have gone off the deep end as a collective society on all levels.
As bots, maybe not, but as humans, forget about it.
And Judy, when you're talking about relationships and how young people stay away from old people, well, just look at what's happening right now with Russia and the Ukraine. People are people, and we have come to this point in this world where we don't look at one another as the same as people. When we look at each other for all these different spectrums.
Exactly. But that goes back to what I was saying about 7 minutes ago. What happened? And everybody needs to just not. I mean, I'm sorry, but no, you've got to be human first. And it's just, and if you became less human because you spent too much time in your, shall we say, virtual world, sorry about your luck. Put your phone down. You're going to have a hard time integrating, but you really start now.
Exactly, and the point is, it just starts with saying hello to somebody, smiling, and perhaps chit-chatting for 5 minutes. See, people are really human. You know, they're not avatars or what have you, but they're human. Why don't you get to know them?
Even when you're checking out, Jill.
More of it. Well, we're doing our best.
That's right. We're going to bang away at it until we see change.
All right. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy on a Thursday morning right here on Robinhood Radio and on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman.